All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports bappers? Welcome to the fray. It is an F-Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects. We're coming to you live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. We're going to take you till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7. Lots of happy hour specials here, including 250 Bud Light, Miller Lite, Coors Light. Of course, college football specials all day tomorrow. Tonight, Fireball Friday, 7 p.m. to 2 a.m., $4 Fireball shots. Shot of the day, $5 apple pie shots, if that's your thing. Barry's out doing a little comedy out west, so that means Cody Stutes has been gracious enough to join us the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and today, Friday, making the journey down here to B-Town. We appreciate you being along for the ride. Nick back at the studio. We've talked Rockets, Texans, and a whole bunch of other things. So if you guys want to get something off your chest that you've had on your mind, 713-780-3776. You can call, text, or hit us up on Twitter where it's at Cody underscore Stutes, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. Nick, by the way, you are big. Not only down here, but now people are texting in saying that Nick should run for Senator, Senator Sciarra 2020.
Ooh.
No.
I don't know if he wants that type of deep dive on the personal life.
And Nick, by the way, the fan base here is pumping fists saying yes, and it isn't even your fan club. They have moved on. Steeler Nation has moved on. So therefore it is others that B-Town believes in the Sciarra. I'm just letting you know.
So you start with mayor, you know, mayor of Beaumont, and then maybe we can talk about being a senator.
I don't know. I think Nick's got that kind of clout around here. It's crazy.
He's pretty level-headed.
I'm not going to say that.
Okay.
At all.
I've only experienced a level-headed Nick.
We talked about the Rockets before the break. Troy wants to get in here, talk a little bit about the Rockets. Troy, what's up, man? How you been?
What's going on, guys? Happy F Day.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
Oh, just a question. What team are the Rockets fans watching that gives you any glimmer of hope that they're going to get any better? Because the team I'm watching right now, I don't see them getting any better, and it's going to be a horrible, miserable season. What glimmer of hope do you have besides the trade, maybe?
Appreciate the optimism, Troy. No, I mean, I think that they look at – I don't know. They look at the Lakers and they think, hey, they haven't figured it all out yet. So maybe there is something credence to say that they have time. They can, you know, they can work things out. But look, man, the clock is ticking. And as we said, it's bad on both ends of the floor. One thing you expected out of this team was their ability to score points. When they can't do that and they can't stop people, that's not a recipe for success.
So if you're in the camp, which I'm not, if you're in the camp that they can still figure it out, if you're in that camp, the amount of time that I'm giving you the chance to be right about that is like it's coming to a close pretty
darn quick.
What's
your deadline? Because I've heard it too many times that it's early. When is it not early anymore? The quarter point?
I guess. I mean, another 10 games, another 15 games. I mean, they're an eighth of the season done. Like,
because you got all these built-in excuses. Well, Bezdelic's got to get back. Then he's got to get his system in play. He's got to get the buy-in from the new guys. Okay, that's one thing, and that's one end of the floor, which we knew that they were at subpar. But offensively, this team was supposed to score with anybody, regardless if Carmelo is an impact player or not.
And regardless of how much defense they
play. They are 24th in the league in pace of play. That's not going to get it done. That's not what this offense was built for. So, I mean, I don't know what your cutoff point is, but to this point, it ain't working. It ain't happening. Now, I will say this. The biggest hope that you have is that you're not even close to the trade deadline. You still have the ability to make moves. And the hardest thing for Daryl Morey, who was like just so hell-bent on getting Carmelo Anthony that he forgot to realize that the Carmelo Anthony that he's getting is not the guy he was pursuing 7 years ago. He's a guy that's over the hill that has blinders on in terms of trying to be a team player.
Yep.
But you could trade him, whether it's the Jimmy Butler move. I said this a week or two ago. Go get Kyle Korver. Cleveland's trying to do a rebuild. They want that salary off their books. There's a guy that's got championship pedigree. There's a guy that knows how to shoot the basketball, and you lack shooters.
Knock it down for you.
That make threes. You don't have to play him forever, but you do have to play him. When you have him on the floor, regardless of what he can and can't give you defensively, no one else is giving you anyway. He can make shots.
Can we get J.R. Smith and said, no. just blow this whole thing up, just have it be a total disaster?
Here's the thing. Okay, we'll get J.R. Smith, and then we'll have a roundtable one night on air where we have Bill O'Brien and J.R. Smith talk about time management.
Oh,
how about
no.
that? Clock management with those two would be a special edition of The Usual Suspects.
Special guest.
The Usual Suspects. Yeah. If there's two guys that are going to be suspected of not knowing how to balance the clock and time, we'll take those two guys and have a discussion.
So the other part of Troy's question is, you know, I'm not in the camp of they can fix it all by themselves. They got to do something.
Yeah.
So you lean to Daryl Morey and you say, okay, you're the wizard. You've figured this stuff out before. Go figure it out again.
Yeah, he has to. And I think you got to quit focusing on just Jimmy Butler because that's a volatile situation. But if it was going to be fixed, it would have been fixed by now. So it's still lingering and hanging around there. And you can't hang your hat on just that deal. That's why I said go make some other deals. Go kick the tires on a Washington Wizard team that is so underachieving and they have so many big names and so many talented guys. You don't think a Jeff Green could help you if he played even close to what he played like in Cleveland a year ago that's just being buried on the bench in Washington? You go get Jeff Green, you instantly have a perimeter defender like Trevor Ariza. You got a guy that can make threes when they're wide open and no one's contesting them because of the guys that are penetrating the middle. There are guys out there in this league that can help this team and you can try and salvage this season. But the guys on your roster right now are completely the opposite of what you need to run the system you're trying to run on both ends of the floor.
I'm not to say that I'm like in on it more than going and getting Jimmy Butler, but to your point, if it's multiple guys that aren't stars, if it's just a role player or two here or there that you could bring in that fixes just a small element of what you got going on, like you've still got Chris Paul, you've still got James Harden. And so if you want to kind of fall in the middle of, well, they have to do something drastic or just give them time, and you do something small and then give them a little bit of time, and you do that, and it's one of those situations where, okay, now I can see them starting to turn it around, and they have the type of guys that you can actually turn it around when you're doing those things. So, I mean, it can't. The status quo is not acceptable, though, and it can't stay the same. And I can't imagine that the guy signing the checks is going to be very happy that in the second year that he's signing all those checks, you've got a horribly disappointing season.
Yeah, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is that you've set a very high standard for yourself and your franchise and doing what you did last year and the ifs, buts, candies, nuts of a hamstring injury. You probably should have been in the finals. And then you can argue all you want whether they would have won it or not. But you didn't do a very good job balancing your roster between that the end of that season and the start of this one. You succumbed to the pressure, and whether you put it on yourself or others got involved, to go bring a guy, like I said, that isn't close to the player that he was when you first were pursuing him in Carmelo Anthony. But the other guys you brought in, Michael Carter-Williams can't shoot.
Not
you traded for a guy in Phoenix that's still hurting, Brandon Knight, that may or may not be able to give you a little bit of help. But it's on you now, just like it was on you to ignore all the naysayers and people that tried to point out to you why you should. This isn't a good move for your franchise. Now you got to go and use the dwindling time that you have left to try and make changes so that you can try and save what otherwise looks like a spiraling downward season.
And here's what I think is maybe a dangerous situation, but also an interesting situation. If Daryl Morey, for whatever reason, goes all out, you know, mortgages the four picks or does something crazy with, you know, the assets of the future of this team, and it fails, well, then that's Daryl Morey's job, but he can get another job. The Rockets will be stuck. I just don't imagine that Daryl Morey, as smart as he is, and I've been a critic of him for a few years, and certainly this season has been just totally not Daryl Morey, just some of the moves he's made and things like that. I don't believe that he would do something huge and it would end up being a failure. That doesn't seem like that. Those are two things that are going to coincide. So if he does have to do something drastic, huge, big to fix this thing, I think it's typically going to be a move, and my faith would be that it's going to be a move that's going to work.
I think he can do it. I think he can do it, but
sure.
I think the time is ticking. The clock is on, and the pressure is on him right now. It's not on D'Antoni. It's not even Harden and Paul. It's clearly on his shoulders now to try and save this season before it gets completely out of whack. So we'll continue to we can always talk about the Rockets. We got some breaking news, gang, and look, it's over before it all got started, it looks like, if you're a fan of the addition of Dez Bryant to the New Orleans Saints. Tom Pelissero is reporting Dez Bryant was helped off the field at Saints practice today after suffering what appears to be a torn Achilles. That is not good for a team that just tried to make a splash by adding to their receiving corps.
Disagree.
You think it's great?
I don't.
You think they dodged one?
I'm not rooting for injuries or anything like that, but guy goes on IR. All those IR guys talk about how they're not really a part of the team. They're not really around the team. I didn't like the locker room fit. Now this guy's pretty much not going to be around. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
I'm just disappointed because Thanksgiving Day I had a little bit more inspiration to watch the Cowboys hosting the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been a big one. All right, speaking of a big one, we're going to finish up the big show at 4. Blitzik will take you home till 7. We're at Luke's Ice House here in Beaumont. You should be, too. Fred and AJ already in the house, so you can stop by and see the number one show in Houston as they do their thing. We'll take you all the way up until that point. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's out. Cody's in. Cody Stutes doing a great job filling in Wednesday, Thursday, and today on The Usual Suspects. We are in Beaumont at Luke's Ice House, 2325 Calder Avenue. Come on down and see us till 4, Blitz till 7. Happy hour prices till 7 bells, which means 250 Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light. And, of course, college football specials all day. Tomorrow, Saturday, $3 Dos Equis drafts. And Fireball Fridays, $4 Fireball shots tonight, 7 p.m. till 2 a.m. Shot of the day, $5 apple pie shots.
Huh.
Speaking of shots, Dez Bryant, hurt. There's a shot to the Saints.
Yep.
Caller wants to take shots at Dez Bryant. Who could that be? Well, of course, it's OU Mike. OU Mike, what's up?
Man, this Dez Bryant. This is Sean Lee's fault. First he gets me cut from the team. Now he gets hurt, so he wants me to get hurt too. Man, word out to my man Clarence, that he was at practice that caused all this. He was out in the way, made my Achilles blow out on me. Shame on you, Clarence.
Not his strongest effort.
No. Nick? It just leads credence to anything we ever say. If you start strong on a Monday or Tuesday with an OU Mike call, you best believe by Friday you wouldn't wipe your tushy with it. It's over. It's terrible.
He usually has one, maybe two good calls per week.
And there's 5 days in a week, right?
Usually.
So the percentages are not in his favor.
Correct.
Because you know what? No matter how strong you get on one day, you don't get extra bonus points from the other 4 days.
No, sir.
So have a nice weekend, Mike.
Dez Bryant tears his Achilles.
Yep.
At what, his first Saints practice?
Second Saints practice? It's got to be first or second,
oh,
right?
Oh, my goodness. Like, that's terrible. I think the Saints dodge a bullet because the guy's basically not going to be around now. Schefter says they're going to turn to, Brandon Marshall, maybe.
Well, didn't they bring him in?
Brought him in for a workout. Yeah. They like Dez more. They went with Dez. So now, from one wide receiver who was such a malcontent, he got run out of off his team, to a wide receiver who was such a malcontent, he's been run off 3 teams. That's not – what are the Saints doing?
Yeah, I don't know that I – here's the thing. It's not like you're a fledgling team trying to do enough to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You're the best team in football right now as it stands. Granted, you could go back and forth about them and the Rams. They just got done beating the other best team in the NFC.
Yes.
So you're the best team in the NFC for sure, regardless of how you see the AFC. Don't act like you're desperate. You have talent. The one thing that was the biggest knock on this team was they couldn't play defense. Their defensive line is playing all world. Their secondary ain't great, but it's better than it's been. Even Eli Apple looks at least decent, right? But offensively, you're not going to argue with Drew Brees and Thomas and that two-headed monster in the backfield and all the weapons that they have, a really strong offensive line. It's not like you've got to tinker too much. So value the culture in the locker room. Value the fact that there's a certain, I don't want to say arrogance, but confidence in this team. Don't mess with it too much now. You took your one wild card shot. It didn't work out. If you're going to do anything at all, below the radar, a guy that can be serviceable, take some pressure off of Thomas, and just go your merry way.
Or I mean, I don't know. The Saint, obviously, the Saints see him. They know him. The Tre'Quan Smith kid has not been bad. I get that he doesn't have a ton of results.
He's had like 12 catches for the year.
Sure, sure. But he hasn't been bad in his opportunities. They lose Ginn, and they're trying to replace him, and they haven't found the guy that's comfortable. I'm not saying that you have, like, this seems like it's falling in love with the names. Like, you can't tell me there isn't some guy who's not Brandon Marshall, who's not Dez Bryant, that's out there that they go snag and at least get a workout and at least see if there's something there. Like, on another practice squad, like, you've exhausted every option. You've already gone to Dez Bryant and Brandon Marshall. Like, or maybe they were falling in love with the name or anything like that, but, man, I don't get it. I don't get it. They're like you said, they're rolling. You can't – don't mess with it too much.
It would be one thing if you're Green Bay or a team Seattle, teams that had expectations based on the past but this year have been underperforming to a certain level and you're trying to, like, appease your fan base, save face, get to the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
But you're not. You're the best team in the NFC. I don't understand why suddenly this move had to be made in the first place or why there has to be any panic now that it didn't work out. You may be right. Maybe they just dodged a huge bullet.
That's how I feel about it, is that this guy is not in there to upset the apple cart, to throw things off, to and honestly, in there, like, because NFL players know who's good. They respect who's good, and they know the name, like, isn't this almost like a rally cry, too? Like, hey, let's do this for Dez, because his career's over, let's be honest, at this point. Because you're done this year. You didn't sign anywhere this year. This point in the year, you get hurt. You're not ready till middle of next year, late next year anyway. The age that he's at, the position he plays, like, this is probably it for Dez Bryant. So it's almost like a net positive emotionally. Because they can do the, oh, let's do this one for Dez. Have him hobble around in the locker room after the surgery's done. You know, give like a fired-up speech to the team if they drop one or two here.
How bad does it look that he passed up that deal with Baltimore at the start of the year?
He looks like an idiot.
Yeah. And you know, even prove-me deals. I mean, the last prove-me deal that really went well was Alshon Jeffries with the Eagles.
Yep.
That turned it into $17 million a year. So it can be done. But like you said, I mean, Dez wasn't the guy that had blazing speed to begin with, but he's probably taken a step back speed-wise. Yeah, you can give him credit for some of his route running or his hands, or he goes up and gets your 50-50 balls better than most. But overall, you're right. It wasn't exactly like he was on the high side getting higher in his ratings. He was coming down. He might have screwed himself out of a whole lot of money, and you might be right. He may not get another opportunity.
And you know, I did all the Achilles research with the Deontay Foreman situation that the Texans have, and the average – it's from surgery before they return to action with their team. And then there's the ramp up once you return to action. At that age, the position he plays, like, that's it, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
You can look at it, you're evaluating two different things. Is Dez done? And then, you know, are the Saints done trying to do an extra home run move that you don't have to make? You hope that, you know, they learned their lesson from this. They took their big-time home run shot. Now, just keep doing what you've been doing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, you could tinker, but don't flat out try and rebuild an engine that's purring along
yep.
at a pretty good pace if you're the Saints. So interesting to see what takes shape next and what the next steps are if you are indeed the New Orleans Saints, because that's one that I don't think anybody saw coming. Like I said, I was just excited about from a Thanksgiving Day perspective. That would have been a hell
rematch.
Of a matchup to see.
Yeah, going back to Dallas, yeah, that would have been great.
With all the relationships and, you know, even OU Mike when he's talking about everything with Sean Lee and his getting into it with Travis Frederick and all those guys, whether they were playing or not, it made a nice sidebar to what otherwise probably would have been a dud of a game. Now that game means nothing to anybody for the most part, right?
I mean, oh, yeah.
It should be a blowout.
Yeah, that should be. I mean, the game was going to be a blowout, Dez plays or not, but – now the one storyline, I guess the storyline, Peyton coming back to Dallas and what could have been and all that stuff if they kept. But the one national storyline that people watch that game and be like, oh, my goodness, Dez coming back. Yeah, it's gone. And so, you know, the Saints turn to maybe free agency or practice squads or whatever. Can't trade. Trade deadline's gone. So
I mean, at the break, we can check and see if there are other receivers out there, but it really shouldn't matter because, like I said,
they're rolling.
Yeah, they're rolling too good to be worried about the Brandon Marshalls of the world. They should just be worried about tinkering a little bit here and there, but not having to overdo anything to try and to shuffle the deck too much. So if you guys want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line where you can call, you can text. You can also hit us up on Twitter as we're available till 4 o'clock. And then, of course, the Blitz will be here till 7. We are at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. You should be, too. Stop by and see us and AJ Fred in the Blitz. Otherwise, hey, give us a shout. One way or the other, reach out and touch us. We'll try and touch you with an answer or two. Before we go to break, I do want to tell you about the good friends at the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are on the road against San Antonio on Saturday, but that doesn't mean there's not stuff to do. If you and the family want to get out, the 17th annual Rockets Run is taking place right outside Toyota Center. You could be a part of it. Children's Memorial Herman Hospital, a proud sponsor of that. It's a great, fun event for the entire family. There is a kids' walk. There is a 2K, and there's also a 5K, depending on what you want to do. You should get out there. Clutch the Bear and all the gang are going to be there. You finish right there at center court at the Toyota Center with your time present. You get a T-shirt. You get a ticket to a future Rockets game. There's a post-run party out front and a lot of fun to be had. And then, of course, Rockets.com is also your one-stop shop for Rockets tickets because the road trip's over after tomorrow, and then they're home, starting with the Pacers on Sunday for a three-game homestand. And if you head to Rockets.com, you can get all the information you need on all the ticket availability for the upcoming games and the deals that they have going on. And they always have deals going on tickets and packages. Of course, you get the Golden State Warriors coming in next Thursday night. First 1,300 fans get a Rockets mouse pad courtesy of BBVA Compass. And it goes from there. Next Saturday night, the upstart Sacramento Kings are in town for kids' night. Lots of things going on. So check Rockets.com right now. The run is Saturday. The games are coming up after that. It's your one-stop shop for everything Houston Rockets.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects coming to you live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, Texas. On Calder Avenue, it's 2325 if you need the address. Stop on by and see us. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. It's always fun to be in B-Town because the people are great. You can hear it's filling up. The volume level goes up with the amount of alcohol consumed. That means by 7 o'clock it should be an all-out roof-is-the-ceiling type party. Cody Stutes filling in for Barry Laminack. The promotion team is here giving away lots of freebies. You can stop by and see us or just do what you're doing. Listen on SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Cody Stutes filling in for Barry Laminack all the rest of the week, and we appreciate him being here for the last 3 days. What's on your mind, brother?
It's been fun. It's been
a lot of fun. We appreciate having you.
It's been a good one. Yeah, we've had a blast.
No doubt about it. So you mentioned that this is something that always is perplexing to me, right? I think that there's a certain prestige with certain awards you win. It's not like when you were a kid and you saved your Little League trophies. If you win an MVP, if you win a Heisman Trophy, I just can't believe when people sell those things. It, to me, it's just those are things that I would keep until I died and hope my family kept for, you know, as an heirloom to pass along.
Sure, yeah. Like, or, you know, if it ever got to that point, like surely somebody could help you out without having to give up that remarkable thing. You know, because you have that, like, you and your team, I mean, by virtue of your team, you earn that. Like, it's legendary. And you bring that up because a rare opportunity for some enterprising individual to buy a Heisman Trophy, like a real, honest-to-God Heisman Trophy from a Heisman Trophy winner. So Tim Brown's Heisman Trophy is going to be up for auction – In fact, it starts for auction later this month. You can bid on Tim Brown's Heisman Trophy through Golden Auctions.
That's crazy, man.
But here's the craziest part about it. This is the second time that trophy is being sold. This isn't even Tim Brown selling it. Tim Brown sold it to a private collector like a year ago.
Okay.
And this guy is now selling it again.
Resale.
Yes.
See, I mean, and you've heard about it over and over again. You've heard about the Heisman Trophy winners that just decided. I think Reggie Bush sold his. Or he had to get it back.
But there
were several versions of it, so I don't know if he tried to sell one of them.
Right.
But I've heard several, you know, previous Heisman Trophy winners that tried to sell it. And I'm just like, well, I mean, to me, that's just something that means too much to try and give it away. What does it say the prices?
So recent Heisman Trophy sales, like Rashawn Salaam's, went for almost $400,000 earlier this year. OJ's sold for $255,000. A Yale running back's family, Clint Frank, won in 1937. He sold his trophy, or his family sold his trophy for $317,000.
That's fantastic money for a guy no one probably remembers.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
But that's why Tim Brown should bring a lot of money, because the Notre Dame contingent, you would think, would be all over this.
And I can't imagine Tim Brown selling it initially was hard up for cash.
But you never
know with some of these guys, though.
Yeah, I don't know per se. Now, I've seen Tim Brown over the years because he goes to Tahoe every year and plays in that golf tournament and things. He doesn't look like he's hard up for cash. He didn't seem to be like a lot of those guys you can see right off the bat. They're hardcore gamblers. They're golfing and they're going in the casino.
Yeah.
And they're going after it. And, you know, and they're losing substantial amounts of money. The story goes that the one year they actually went onto the driving range to arrest Antoine Walker because he owed so much money to Harvey's and Caesars that from Vegas they arrested him there on the Nevada side of the state line. And brought him back to face charges and have to pay up for all the hundreds of thousands of dollars that he owed over the years of losing in gambling to the casinos. Tim Brown doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. He seems like he's a smart guy. He's been smart with his money. But, I mean, look, you see this across the board. Neil Armstrong right now is selling all of his artifacts from NASA, from moonwalks and other things. So Lou Alcindor or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, however you look at it.
Yeah.
He's already put on the market more than half of his accomplishments and trophies and things
Man.
That he's won over the years. So some people just don't put any kind of value in
maybe,
it, I guess.
Maybe. Apparently there's a waiver that recent Heisman winners have to sign that they won't sell it. And the Heisman Trust has gotten pretty aggressive in recent years in making sure stuff like this doesn't go down. But a guy like Brown who won it all those years ago, it's up for auction. There you go.
You know that they do that with the Oscars as well. If you win an Oscar, if you try and sell it, get rid of it or anything, before you're able to do that, the board of whatever
the Academy.
The Academy of whatever sciences and everything like that, they have the ability to buy it back for $2, I think. So,
wow.
Yeah, they have first crack at it to buy it back for like literally pennies on the dollar, and then if they pass on that, which they won't do, then you can see the bidding war take off.
Something that I didn't think I needed until you started talking about it.
Yeah.
How come around Oscar time they don't sell little chocolate Oscar statues at the store like they do like chocolate Easter bunnies?
Wrapped in gold tinfoil?
Yeah. That'd be great for a little Oscars party. You have an Academy Awards party. You got a bunch of those. You hand it out to your friends as a little parting gift.
I can see that. I can see it better coming from your idea factory. But at the same time, I mean, yeah, if Hershey's Kisses wants to get a little creative and kind of upgrade the whole marketing campaign, I can see it happen.
That'd be great. Yeah, it's like, for best dish brought to the Academy Award party goes to Joel Blank, and you get a big chocolate Oscar to take home.
Okay.
Chocolate Oscar, that cost extra.
Chocolate Oscar.
That just sounds dirty.
It really does, man. It does. I don't think so, but okay. Because we're going to do picks in the last segment, you guys, I did want to hit you guys with this. If you have kids in the car, you're waiting in the parent line for pickup, I'll say earmuffs. I'll count you down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Headline just in. Balloon doctor demonstrates how a man 62 years old was left with a penis shaped like a saxophone the size of an eggplant after he snapped it in two places while having sex in a Taiwan motel.
I don't want any part of any of that.
The highlights, the 62-year-old man named as Leo was rushed to the hospital by his bed partner, a woman who was on top during the motel session when they heard a quote-unquote loud crack. Doctor said it was shaped like a saxophone. It was the size of an eggplant. He said, in his experience, the injury only occurs when the woman is on top during intercourse. He actually used an inflated balloon that you make balloon animals with to try and demonstrate to the patient and others exactly what happened, what it looked like, and why. I don't know why you would go to that level.
Was he a clown on the weekends?
Hey, you never want. You got to pay the bills, brother. I don't know.
Make me a bicycle clown.
I mean, there's the picture. If you don't believe me. But Dr. Kwao Chai Cheng, a urologist, actually used the balloon to show where the cracks occurred. Moral of the story, gentlemen, if you are worried or concerned in any way, shape, or form, you on top missionary is the way to go. Otherwise, take your chances. That's all I'm saying. So, hey. And as they say, Curtis Blow, those are the breaks. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But that's just a... sounds like a very painful, painful experience that I don't think anybody should wish on even their worst enemy.
Yeah, that's... you can't fix that either.
I think you better hope it heals on its own. Yeah, I don't think you put a cast on it by any...
I don't
think there's a wrap that's going to help it heal any faster. All right, we got one segment to go in the big show. We're going to do some picks, college and pro, like we normally do with spread. Then we're going to turn over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock, whether you're on SportsMap 94.1 or ESPN 97.5. We are the usual suspects. Back in just minutes.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, special shout out to Cheryl, who's a usual suspect who listens to us on a regular basis. We appreciate her stopping by and saying hi, as well as Donna is here. Dan, I mentioned you earlier, but all you usual suspects and the people that have helped make us a part of your life and daily regimen, we appreciate you. We're at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, 2325 Calder Avenue. We're going to be here for just this final segment, but Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz, they'll take you home and entertain you all the way till 7 o'clock with the number one show in the entire city. And as we said, if we would include the Golden Triangle in the Houston DMA, we would be far and away on top of the world. Cody Stutes, we appreciate you. Thank you for filling in for Barry Laminack off in the West doing some comedy. And, of course, Nicholas, you keep us on the air, and you are the backbone of this entire organization. So normally on Friday's last segment, we do a little football. So why don't you strike up the band, Nick, and take over from here.
All right, I guess this week we'll start with college football, if that's cool with you two.
Yep.
All right, cool. We'll start off with Auburn and Georgia. Georgia at home, minus 14 for the Bulldogs.
Cody, I'll go first on this one. I really believe the Bulldogs have to make a statement to try and stay in the conversation for the top four teams in the country. That 14 points, I don't think is nearly enough for Auburn. I think Georgia covers that and probably more.
What is it with teams that have the mascot Tigers that don't have any offense? Auburn doesn't have any offense. Jared Stidham is nowhere near the highly touted prospect he was in high school. And I truly believe Georgia, it's not just the number. I truly believe they're one of the five best teams in the nation. And I think they're probably the third or second best team in the nation. They're going to destroy Auburn. Going to destroy them.
Okay. I'm with you guys. I think Georgia will cover as well. I think they still have a little bit left to prove, despite being one of the best teams in the country. So I think they're going to make a statement against Auburn as well. So minus 14, I think Georgia covers. All right, Clemson and Boston College. Clemson on the road, but favored by 19 points. Who's your pick?
Here's the thing. I think weather factors in. I think Boston College, not that they can be hotter than the points Clemson have been putting up, but they're the 17th ranked team in the country. I think that's a lot of points. I think that there's going to be a little bit of a letdown after the 70-some points Clemson put up. I believe that Clemson will win the football game. I think Boston College is going to cover that 19.
Night game, biggest game all season for Boston College, on the road for Clemson. And I know that he's super talented, but it's still a night game on the road for Trevor Lawrence, who hasn't played a ton of those. I'm going Boston College to cover. Clemson's going to win, but Boston College is going to cover.
Yeah, I think Clemson wins, but I don't think they cover. So I think Boston College covers as well. All right, we move on to Mississippi State and Alabama. Alabama at home, minus 23.5 at home for Alabama.
Go ahead, Coach.
Alabama, Alabama, Alabama,
yep,
Alabama.
I'm with you. I don't have to explain it any further. They're the best team in the country
for a reason, team.
Alabama.
It's an NFL team. Go ahead.
I saw them early, and I tweeted out early, if you just wanted to bet on Alabama covering every week, I think you'd come out even by the end of the year. They're going to cover this week. They're just fine.
I think they'll cover as well. All right, Ohio State and Michigan State on the road. Ohio State minus 3.5.
I'm an idiot because I hate them, but I still believe they're more talented than they've shown. And I think that they know right now that their ass is on the line every week. I think Ohio State's going to cover the 3.5 and win at Michigan State.
They've got to be perfect from here on out. There's a lot of pressure on a team that I don't know if the coach is handling all that pressure well. I like Sparty in this one. Okay. I like Sparty in this one straight up.
Oh, wow. Okay, Nick.
I don't remember the last time they lost there at Michigan State, but I know Ohio State has been, you know, they lost to Purdue. They struggled against Nebraska, but I still think they'll be able to cover the 3.5 spread against Michigan State. So we move on to our last game, Florida State on the road against Notre Dame, minus 16.5 for the Irish.
I know Notre Dame's without their starting quarterback, but I know how bad Florida State's been all year. I'm sorry, Mr. Pope. But I don't think Florida State covers this one. I think Notre Dame gets the easy victory.
Florida State's just been shellacked by any team that has a pulse this year, and then they've snuck past a couple of other teams. I don't see it. I see Notre Dame, even with the backup. Wimbush is still really good. Remember, he won that.
Experienced, yeah.
He won that out of camp. Book's better, but Wimbush is still really good. Give me Notre Dame to figure that out.
Yep.
I think Notre Dame will win. I don't know about 16.5 points. I don't think they'll cover, so give me Florida State at plus 16.5.
Okay.
All right, we move on to the NFL. New England on the road against the Titans. They're favored by what is it here? 6.5, sorry.
This is actually my pick in AJ's pool. I think that the Patriots are going to take care of business. I think the Titans are full of themselves beating the Cowboys, but that wasn't all that impressive. And I think they're going to find a team coming in that is starting to click on all cylinders and has been for quite a while. I think the Patriots covered, win by more than a touchdown.
I pretty much treat New England like I treat Alabama in the college ranks. If I bet on them every week, I think I'd come out positive at the end of the year with how good they are. And this Tennessee team is fraudulent.
I agree.
As all get out, New England.
Yeah, 6.5 points, it's not a big deal for me. I think they easily cover. I like the Patriots. All right, New Orleans on the road against Cincinnati, minus 5.5 for the Saints on the road against the Bengals.
So no A.J. Green on one side and now no Dez Bryant on the other. Bigger loss for Cincinnati. I think, talk about fraudulent. I think the epitome of fraudulent in the NFL in the last, 10 years? And the fact that Marvin Lewis has never even won a playoff game. I think Cincinnati's a fraud. I think the Saints are for real. 5.5 to me is nothing. I think the Saints win this game by a touchdown.
Even on the road, you would think, okay, this is maybe a close one if you're thinking Cincinnati. New Orleans gets some late points to figure this thing out. They're going to cover. They're going to win. They're going to take care of the Bengals.
Yeah, I've got the Saints, and I think they'll cover as well. All right, Jacksonville and the Colts. The Colts are at home, minus 3.5 for Indianapolis.
This is a shocker to me that Jacksonville has, oh, how the mighty have fallen, all the way to being 3.5-point dogs on the road at Indy. And their defense should be able to at least neutralize to some extent Andrew Luck. And by the way, the Colts' defense is terrible. Somehow this is the make-or-break game for the Jags to even try and salvage a season. I think Jacksonville's going to win the game outright.
You know what? I almost went the same way as you. I trust Andrew Luck. Dude's on fire right now. He's at home.
Bet some NBA games tonight, too.
Okay. I know I don't always listen to you, and it burned me yesterday, but I'm not listening to you on this one. Give me the Colts on this one.
Yeah, I'm taking the Colts as well. I think it really depends a lot on Fournette and if he can run to kind of control the clock. If he can do that, I think the game is a lot closer or really close, but I still think the Colts can come out. I think Andrew Luck will carry this team. I like minus 3.5. I think the Colts will cover. Two more games. Detroit on the road against the Bears, minus 6.5 at home for Chicago.
Well, I know you people think I hate the Bears, but I believe at home The Bears are a better team on grass. The Midwest got a snowstorm, which I don't think people factored in. Detroit's an indoor team, and they don't have Golden Tate. I think the Bears win, and they cover the 7.
Detroit's in the middle of a free fall. Matt Patricia doesn't have the experience to pull him out of it. I like Detroit on this one. Plus, finally had some time to get a little bit healthier in Chicago. The offense is rolling Chicago.
Okay.
I'll take Chicago as well, -6.5. All right, final game. Dallas on the road against the Eagles. The Eagles are favored, -7 at home.
I got to believe if the Eagles are going to prove that they are going to make some kind of a run at another Super Bowl, and they're getting it together, they have a Golden Tate. They've improved their receiving corps. They haven't fixed that running game yet, but they still have Carson Wentz, and their defense is better than they've shown recently. I think this is a get-good-quick-and-get-healthy game for the Eagles, and they win by more than 7.
I don't believe in the Eagles just yet. They were pumped that Darren Sproles was back this week with his hamstring injury, and then he re-aggravated it, and you would have thought there was, you know, a snowpocalypse coming in Philadelphia with the emotions those people had over it. They haven't fixed the rushing attack. The Cowboys still have a little bit of talent over there on offense with Zeke in that offensive line. 7's too big. I like the Cowboys to cover, Philly to win.
Okay.
I think the Eagles will cover the 7 points. I'm just not sold on this Dallas offense at all, especially on the road in Philadelphia. So I'm picking the Eagles to win and cover the spread, -7.
All right, there you have it. There are our picks for the week. I don't know how we stand, and I frankly don't care, but it is fun to be able to pick them along with the spread. I'm sure that Fred and AJ will have more to say about that, and those are the experts that know exactly the ins and outs of all the idiosyncrasies of the gambling thing. So with that being said, my friend, I hope you have big plans for the weekend. Nick, I hope you guys do too. But it's been a lot of fun, and something tells me we're probably going to do this again real soon.
Okay. Works for me. My schedule's pretty clear.
Our man Barry is knocking out some comedy dates these days. So, by the way, Donna is already sporting Barry's T-shirt, Nick. Welcome to the land.
I've got my hoodie on.
A lot better than the knockoff shirts, I can tell you that. The shirts and the hoodies look pretty darn good.
Yeah, I like the hoodies a lot. I like the white one. I think everybody should check out the white one because the white one to me is my favorite color. But he's got 2 or 3 colors to choose from, so check it out.
Is white really a color? That's a longer discussion for another day.
We ran out of time.
Yeah, I thought black and white weren't officially colors, but I'll go with it. All right, Nicholas, have a great weekend. Appreciate you keeping us on the air. Cody, again, thanks for all your time. Drive safely. And for all you guys, the usual suspects, we appreciate you each and every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m., keeping us on the air and keeping us alive doing what we do. So have yourself a great weekend as well. It's Fred, it's AJ, it's Jong, it's The Blitz. They're next right here on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.